for great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. You're with Shannon Joy on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio here in New York State. So good to be with all of you tonight right here on TNT. It is Wednesday, the epicenter of another absolutely brutal, busy broadcast week. We are just weeks away from the midterm elections, and the entire country has gone lost their damn minds. And it's only going to get crazier as we move to the presidential elections. This is the way it goes in the United States of America, folks. For those of you listening across the pond, we lose our minds every election season. We do very good work in building up local organizations and tethering ourselves to principles opposed to politicians or political parties. And we all remind each other in those 2 years before a midterm election or a presidential election that both parties are out to screw us. They're both owned by the big corporatists and the big lobbyists and big government, two sides of the same coin, two cheeks of the same arse, the unibrow, you name it. We all tell each other this, but then when it really gets down to it, when we really get down to it, and we get a week away from the election or 2 weeks away from the election and everyone just goes crazy and the whole world is going to fall apart. Everyone's going to die. If the other team wins, it's the most important election in the history of the world. And it is all just so much. This is why I absolutely despise politics and I despise electoral politics. It's the worst. And people say to me, oh my gosh, Shannon, how do you have a political show when you despise politics so much? And I don't know. I just guess I do. It is nice to be in a situation. I mean, I don't know. It's nice or it's really sad. But it's nice to be in a situation moving towards this midterm election where I really feel like for the first time in my adult life, I really feel okay with it's bad either way, okay? The two political parties are one in the same. And so one can win, the other can win. I don't honestly believe that fundamentally we will see an enormous amount of change. And this was the topic of my program yesterday. I got an enormous amount of feedback on yesterday's show. And last night's show built on Monday's bombshell interview with Ed Dowd, the former BlackRock executive who is now a whistleblower, freedom fighter, activator. He is working with all of the people that you love, that you meet on a regular basis on this radio program, people like Dr. Malone and Dr. McCullough and Aaron Seary and Naomi Wolf and RFK, right? There's an entire coalition of thinkers and movers and shakers, scientists, medical doctors, financial analysts, economists, political analysts, media people from across the globe that get this. That understand the problems that we face today in October 2022, 2.5 years post-apocalypse, which was the COVID-19 scam, fraud, and lockdown. They understand that what we face is far greater and far bigger, much, much bigger than a political contest between a D or an R. And yeah, there are some good Republicans out there that we would benefit if they are to get into office. But man, this train has left the station. And that was really my show. I want to encourage all of you who are listening to the sound of my voice tonight, please go back, listen back on TNT, or at theshannonjoy.com to Monday's show with Ed Dowd. And then listen to yesterday's show where I kind of recap what we went over in that interview. And frankly, listen to every show moving forward and share it with all of your friends and your family, because I'm going to be moving fast moving forward as things begin to accelerate. What you will get on this radio program every evening is truth. I am an imperfect person. I have gotten things wrong. Sometimes my predictions are off, although I don't predict a whole lot because it's very difficult to predict when you're not in on the plan. I can't promise you a lot other than the truth based on my observations of politics and politicians over the past 10 years. That is all I can tell you. In terms of expertise, I am a regular person who watches very closely. I observe very closely. I have curated the best source list of independent thinkers and journalists and activists on the face of the planet. I connect with people who are outside of the political paradigms, but who are rooted very firmly in principle. And each evening I come to this program with the mission of delivering you the truth according to what I have been able to observe based on my observations regarding politics over the past decade, and quite frankly, my entire life. I've been paying attention to politics my entire life. That is the mission of this show. You want to listen to this show because I might not get everything right and I might not be up on the hot takes. You're not going to get hot takes here. You're not going to get lucrative takes here. You're not going to get party takes, which you will get at every other radio show, Conserva Inc., anywhere else you go to get information on the right or the left. You are going to get opinions and analysis that is based on things other than the truth, okay? So I encourage you to listen back to these shows and listen to every show. In a nutshell, with Edward on Monday, he presented a complete picture of what is going on in 2022. And basically, we're effed. I mean, again, the train has left the station. The cat is out of the bag. The horse is out of the barn, however you want to explain it. This is happening, okay? This is 109 years of financial fraud, starting with the establishment of the Federal Reserve System and federal banks, government banks. It's been fraud for 109 years. And we've seen that manifest in different ways with this bubble, with that bubble. They cover it up with this war or that war or 9/11 or COVID-19. But the truth of the matter is that this cannot persist. And as we all know, basically they've been stealing from you. They've been looting regular people legally through the government for over 100 years. And they always try to cover it up. Right? Well, at some point it gets so big that you can't cover it up. And as we all know, the cover-up is always worse than the crime. The cover-up is always worse than the crime. And Ed Dowd lays this out in a much more articulate way, which with much more data than I'm giving you right now on the Monday show. But the cover-up is always worse than the crime. Right? So, I mean, say, you know, your next door neighbor stole $100 from the neighbor, right? And, you know, that was wrong. But Jamie over across the street saw him steal it. And now Jamie's a witness. So, you know, your next door neighbor has to take Jamie out because he can't have anyone knowing that he stole the money, right? Like the crime starts with the money or the stealing. And that's, you know, not good. But then once you have to cover it up, man, that is when you get dead bodies. That is when you get the true atrocity. The cover-up is always worse than the crime. That's why we're in a very dangerous position in the world today. Because the awakening is at hand. more and more people are waking up to this fraud. More and more people are waking up to the truth that both political parties, whether you're in the UK or Australia or Canada, New Zealand, the United States of America, the game is to control both political parties. And they've been at this game for 100 years. So it's not surprising that they have entrenched their power. But people are waking up to this. People are waking up to the deadly nature of these COVID-19 shots and the spike protein and the mRNA technology. And they're not taking them. The uptake is terrible. People aren't going for the boosters. They're not vaccinating their children. And there's this rumbling among the people. And it really hasn't penetrated into the mainstream, but it's about to. And this is a very, very terrible problem for the people who hope to cover up what they've done. And that's why we're in a dangerous spot right now. And so my show yesterday, following up on the show with Edward, in a nutshell, basically is this: if you think we can vote our way out of this, particularly on the right, for those of you who are listening who would consider yourselves to be a Republican or a conservative or a right-leaning independent, if we think we can vote our way out of this mess, we're crazy. We're insane. We are as insane as the people wearing three masks and lining up for a bivalent booster. Okay, their fifth or sixth booster. We are engaging in a level of cognitive dissonance or groupthink or mass formation that we accuse our opponents of engaging in, because this is right in front of our face. It's right in front of our face. And a lot of us don't want to know about this. Many of us don't want to accept this. And that's when I mentioned cognitive dissonance. Some of you don't want to know the truth about the Republican Party. You don't want to know the truth about Conserva Inc., the voices that you have come to trust over the airwaves or on your favorite podcast over the past 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. It's very difficult to accept that in some cases they may have been lying to you, maybe because of their ignorance or maybe because they know full well what they're doing. I don't try to pretend to know or understand what drives these people. I know, though, I can identify a lie or I can identify a critical omission by a talker or a thinker that is trusted on the right very easily, because I've trained myself to do it over years of observation. Sometimes we want to lie to ourselves, because the truth is very difficult to accept. And, you know, in this case, this is my superpower, that I'm that girl, right? And we all have a girlfriend. All of us have a girlfriend, right? When you go to try on jeans or you're trying on clothes, right? And you put on this pair of jeans and you ask your friend, does my butt look big in these jeans? What do you want her to say? You want her to say, no, your butt looks great. Your butt is perfect in that jean, in that pair of jeans. You look fantastic, right? Right? But don't you really appreciate the girl who's like, yeah, you know, your butt looks a little big in those jeans? Because at the end of the day, you don't want to walk out in those jeans because your butt looks big in them, right? So would you rather rip the Band-Aid off and just have your friend tell you the truth, or do you want to go through the charade? I'm that friend that is not going to put you through the angst and the anxiety. We're just going to cut right to the chase. Your butt looks big. No, it doesn't really. I'm joking. But that I'm the political equivalent of that. I'm going to tell you the truth. And a lot of us don't want to hear it. And the reason that I'm a safe person to hear this from is because I've gone through this myself. I had to come to these conclusions myself. Where you are at tonight, I have been there. I can relate. I know. And it is painful. But I can also tell you, coming out the other side, the sense of peace, the fearlessness, the power that you begin to accumulate when you accept and embrace the truth, when you say, you know what, I'm not afraid of the truth. It's hard, I don't like it, but indeed it sets me free. It is not easy, but it is a freedom that I want for every one of you. It is a freedom from angst and anxiety. I sleep like a baby. I'm not worried about the 2022 midterm elections. I'm not worried about the 2024 presidential elections. I'm not putting all my eggs in a political candidate, hoping and praying that they're not going to say something stupid, hoping and praying that they win this debate, hoping and praying that something doesn't come out that is really devastating about their past or the past of their loved one that's going to destroy their candidacy. And then if they get elected, hoping and praying to God that they'll do the things they said they would do, only to be disappointed, right? I'm free of all that. And I want you guys to be free of all that. That doesn't mean there aren't leaders out there. We need leaders. We need good candidates. We need good politicians. We need an electoral system that we can trust and that is built on honesty and transparency. And we can have those things, but we cannot have those things if we continue to lie to ourselves. And that is why I'll do this job. This is a terrible job. Everybody hates me in political years. Everyone! The Democrats, the Republicans, the conservatives, there's no happy place here, but I will do it. I'll do it because this is what I believe we need. We'll be back in a moment on The Shannon Joy Show.
TNT Radio's Rick Munn.
It doesn't really matter who you bank with. The axe is being wielded for bank branches. Less people are going in. I believe there should be a presence of banks there because there's a lot of old folk. They don't want online banking. They don't want to speak to a call center in Timbuktu. They want to go in their local branch with their little book and talk to a human being and get their cash out. And why the hell not? They've supported you stinking, rotten corporate dogs for decades of their lives. So give them a break now. They're in the twilight of their lives. Don't humiliate them. Don't threaten them with bank apps or they can't bank. And don't tell them to go outside in the rain and use the ATM. For crying out loud, show some respect for your elders. It's one of the reasons why our society's in the position it's in now. We don't respect our elders.
Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Make no mistake, we're in an existential battle for Western civilization. And judging by the kinds of people enrolled in university these days, it's not a battle that will be ending anytime soon. At Penn State University, comedian Alex Stein was surrounded by a wild-eyed, rabid group of students, cursing at him, gesticulating obscenely toward him, and spitting upon him as he exercised his First Amendment rights to share ideas with which they did not agree. And at the University of Illinois, student government vice president Vindhya Kalipi has resigned her position because the university wouldn't ban Matt Walsh. The most telling sign from that event, we condemn freedom of speech that hurts other people's feelings. Sorry, cupcakes, feels are no reason to keep you safe from words that make you sad. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Childhood slavery. Proudly supporting a greener world. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
In terms of feedback, one of the most common comments that I receive when I begin this work, and this work is saying uncomfortable, truthful things on the radio in front of thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people on a nightly basis, when we get into these highly politicized, super, super emotional, anxiety-driven political contests, right? When everyone loses their mind. No one wants to hear me talk about what the Republican Party and Republican operatives and Republican candidates and Republican presidents and senators and congressmen and governors have done over the past 2.5 years. No one wants to remember the lockdown of this country, the refusal of Republicans to address these issues. No one wants to really admit what is right in front of our faces right now. Right in front of our faces, like the bloody, beaten, and decapitated elephant in the smoke-filled back room of the GOP, right? No one wants to admit that it's there, but it is there. COVID genocide. COVID genocide. The lockdowns, the mandates, the mask mandates, the vaccine mandates, Operation Warp Speed. First from COVID-19 deaths themselves, then the death protocols, remdesivir and the ventilator, then death by isolation, starvation and abuse in hospitals and nursing homes of our elderly, death of our elderly in nursing homes because governors in red states and blue shipped COVID-19 positive patients into the nursing homes. Death from COVID-19 vaccines. The scope of the atrocities committed on human beings by their governments in Western democracies over the past 2.5 years is breathtaking. It's horrifying. There is only one answer to this. This is Nuremberg 2.0, massive trials at the international, national, state, and local level. That's the only answer. That justice is the only answer. And what people don't want to admit right now, people on our side, people who have protested, people who have organized against COVID lockdowns and COVID fascism and the forced masking and the closure of schools, you name it, right? Right now, putting their eggs in this Republican basket, they don't want to acknowledge that it was Republicans who did this in tandem with Democrats. They want to forget the last year of the Donald Trump presidency when he handed his presidency to Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx. They don't want to acknowledge today that Donald Trump, the front runner for the candidacy for the presidency of 2024, to this day is celebrating, promoting, and touting Operation Warp Speed and the COVID-19 vaccines that he created. He's taking folk. This is bizarre. This is bizarre. This is a mass formation psychosis of our own on our own side in terms of this issue. I'm calling a spade a spade. People are gonna, you guys are gonna be mad at me. I know you guys are gonna be mad at me. I know 2 days in a row that we're doing this. And we're, again, looking forward. Tomorrow, I will be interviewing Daniel Horowitz of The Blaze, full hour here on the radio show. We're gonna go into a lot of that data. We're gonna go into these elections. We're gonna go into the unwillingness of the Republican Party to answer any questions about vaccine policy or principle. Have you noticed that? A lot of debates. There are debates across the country. And the big talkers and the conservative talkers, they're reporting on this as a sports reporter would commentate on a football game or a baseball game, right? And there's this frenzy and there's this excitement. And so-and-so was articulate. They won. They, you know, it's all razzle-dazzle. Have you noticed in these debates, there are no questions about vaccines? Vaccine safety, vaccine injury, vaccine death, vaccine mandates. They will say this, I don't believe in mandating the COVID-19 vaccine. Well, that is very broad. There are a whole host of issues around mandating vaccines, not just COVID-19 vaccines. They're not being addressed. It's the number one issue in the country today. It's what everyone talks about. It is the one issue that ousted tens of thousands, if not millions of people out of their jobs, their states, their livelihoods, their educations. It was felt by everyone. It is the one issue that is impacting individuals intimately in their own bodies as they suffer adverse reaction. There are people who are not being treated. It is a massive elephant in the room, not even a discussion. This is weird. Guys, this is weird. And I know what you're all thinking right now. I know what you're thinking. Just don't say anything. Just shh, 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 Shannon, just Just let's get them at very, very quietly. Let's just get them in office. Don't you see the red wave? We're going to beat down those Democrats. We're going to show Joe Biden. You're going to ruin this. You're going to ruin everything if you point this out. And I don't think I will. I think you all are going to go out and you're going to vote Republican. And I think there will be a red wave. So don't worry about that, okay? Maybe there won't. Ed Dowd mentioned in his show in the interview on Monday, we might not make it to the midterm elections. And I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't. I would not be surprised if there weren't an event, an October surprise. This is not our first rodeo, guys, okay? We've seen this movie before. We've seen this script play out. And so I'm not saying it's going to happen. I have no idea if it's going to happen or not. I wouldn't be surprised if it did. And even if it doesn't, let's say that we make it to the 2023 midterms. And let's just say there's a red wave and we get Dr. Oz, man. He was a Democrat his entire life. Never met an abortion he didn't love or a vaccine mandate he didn't love. But we love him because Trump loves him because he's an R and he's going to save us, right? We usher in the red wave and then, oh my gosh, there's another pandemic. The media machine kicks in. The bureaucratic machine kicks in. And this time we have Republicans in power. Who knows what it'll be? A massive natural disaster, another virus, World War III, nuclear bombs are being dropped here and there. Who knows what it's going to be? And they will use it as an excuse to lock you down for some reason. And you think that this crop of red wavers, you think that they're going to stand up to that? You think they're afraid to talk about this? They're afraid to talk about COVID fascism right now. You think they're going to stand up to it 3 weeks from now, 5 weeks from now? You think that they're going to veer from the party line, from the approved talking points, when they have submitted to those talking points for the entirety of their candidacy over the past year? You expect them to behave differently when they have demonstrated to you over the past 12 months how they will behave? They won't talk about the lockdowns or the fascism or the lies or the fraud or the broken dead bodies because the party is complicit. And so when the economy collapses, in whatever way that looks, as that American dream of home ownership, pursuing your happiness, owning a business, having a family, being free, as that slips away and that accelerates faster and faster, do you think these are the people? Do you think these are the leaders that are going to stand up to that? I doubt it. I doubt it because I've already seen them. They're already afraid to say anything that their handlers or their consultants or the party tells them not to say. Just my observation. We'll be back in a moment on the Shannon Joy Show.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines.
New UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has pledged to restore economic stability in a way that is fair and compassionate and protects the most vulnerable people in society. Two Canadian women have been arrested after arriving in Montreal following their repatriation from a camp in Syria that detains ISIS fighters and their families. Foot Locker told outlets to immediately pull Kanye West's Yeezy footwear from sales floors after he made several anti-Semitic posts.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
Let me give you a couple specific examples of what I'm talking about, and we'll get into some more examples tomorrow. Make sure you tune in to the Shannon Joy Show. Daniel Horowitz, dear friend, podcaster and writer over at The Blaze and Conservative Review, will be with me for the full hour, and we will talk about a whole host of issues. He's one of the most brilliant human beings on the face of the planet. I've known him for almost a decade, and he is spot on basically everything. He's a much more intelligent version of me. Let's just put it that way. And I have a lot of questions for him. So Daniel will be with us in the Joy Virtual Studio tomorrow. Don't miss that interview. Also, James Melville, unbelievable. He is out of the UK. He hangs out over at GBN with people like Neil Oliver, and he's unbelievable. He is one of us commentating, activating, organizing. He is outside of that two-party system, which I love, and he's doing his thing over in the UK. We're going to welcome him into the Joy Virtual Studio on Friday. So two really great interviews coming up to cap out this week as we try to get a handle on what is going on in the United States of America as we move forward towards these 2022 midterm elections. And the elephant in the room really is the party and the candidates. All right, Republicans managing, and I'll tell you, it is, I'm quite impressed by this. I'm quite impressed that they have managed to avoid even mentioning COVID-19 lockdowns, COVID-19 tyranny, the fraud about the gain of function and the bioweapon that was deployed on the American people, the genocide that happened in our hospitals and our nursing homes. I mean, lie upon lie upon lie, the psychotic nature of the mask. I mean, it's really astonishing to me that these candidates, and it's ubiquitous, it is local level candidates, state level candidates, whether you're in New York State or Wisconsin, California, save a few, okay? There are a few, I know, Ron Johnson, Carrie Lake, Ron DeSantis, maybe those are the only ones that come to mind, who are willing to like tell the truth about certain things, right? But all of the other candidates, all they talk about crime, which is hilarious. It's not hilarious, it's devastating. But it is interesting to note that the single largest, most devastating jailbreak criminal justice reform bill passed in the history of the United States of America was actually passed by Republicans in a bipartisan bill called the First Step Act in 2018, December to be precise. Donald Trump signed it. Republicans voted for it, including the New York State gubernatorial candidate, Lee Zeldin, who is a Republican. He voted for the largest federal jailbreak criminal justice reform. George Soros would have endorsed this bill. George Soros loved this bill. In fact, Schumer loved it. And Pelosi loved it. All of the Democrats loved it because it's jailbreak. It is essentially everything that you're seeing, the reason that Portland is on fire, the reason that Chicago is on fire, that New York has crime through the roof, is because of that federal bill and all of the various state and local copycat bills that mirrored the First Step Act, fully endorsed by George Soros and written by Republican Mike Lee. There's the unibrow for you, okay? But that's in the weeds for most voters. So they can go back and they just think you're going to forget about that. Most of you don't even know about that because Sean Hannity didn't tell you on his radio show today. Mark Levin didn't tell you on his radio show today. You didn't hear it on Fox News, right? So you don't even know that this happened. Now, if you follow Daniel Horowitz and you read all of his writing in 2016, 17, and 18 in the lead up to this bill, if you listen to my program 6 years ago, you'll hear me talking about it. You'll hear Daniel talking about it because we were telling you all about it. But we're very small voices in a sea of conservative incorporated. And often we're drowned out. So Republicans are allowed to talk about crime. They're allowed to talk about the border. They're allowed to talk about inflation, but only Biden's inflation, only the Democrats' inflation. They're not allowed to talk about the multi-gazillion dollar omnibus, monstrous, disgusting spending bills that they passed during the Trump administration with trifecta power, right? The spending was disgusting, drunken sailor style spending. They were dumping money at the NIH, dumping money into the Department of Defense, dumping money into the Department of Education so that they could push out this insane curriculum that we're now grappling with at the local level. This was all funded. This was all passed by Republicans in their omnibus spending bills. You didn't hear about spending for 4 years from conservatives. Do we recall that? And now all of a sudden we care about spending because it's Biden's inflation. The reason we have inflation is because of the printing of money. And that has been done by Republicans and Democrats. It has not been addressed. The Federal Reserve hasn't been addressed by either political party for 109 years. And that's why we still have it. That's why they're on the same team. They'll pick different sides of an issue on the periphery, but on the big things that matter, the fact that they are stealing, they are raping us financially, they are dismantling your future. And they're all on the take, especially at the federal level. Of course they can't talk about that, right? So they'll talk about the economy and inflation, but not in a meaningful or intellectual or truthful way. They'll just say it's Biden's fault. And we clap like seals. And we know deep down it's not true, but we're too afraid of the other guy, which is why we accept it. We know that they're lying to us. We know that they're complicit, but we don't want to accept that because we're too afraid of a D having control of Congress or the House or the Senate. It's fear. This is why, who was it? Roosevelt? Was it FDR? I could get this wrong, but I think it was FDR who said, quite literally, the only thing to fear is fear itself. Fear destroys everything. We lie to ourselves because we're fearful. We accept abuse from our government officials and bureaucrats and politicians and both political parties because we're afraid. At the end of the day, we're afraid of everything in America. This is why we have not woken up yet. This is why we're still mired. And this is why, sadly, things are going to get worse. See, I want things to get better. I want the pain to end. I want this all to stop. I want to move towards truth and justice, and then I want to rebuild. I've already made my peace. I know that in my lifetime, I'll probably spend the rest of my lifetime, and so will you, rebuilding from what we have done to our country over the past 30 years. That American dream might not be in my future, but damn it, it'll be in my kids' future and my grandkids' future. We are afraid of everything. I'll lose my pension. I'll lose my job. I won't have money. I won't have a contract. My neighbors won't like me. The Democrats are going to win. I mean, we build up so many things to be afraid of. And you know what? We shackle ourselves. We build a web around us so that we can't do anything other than wait with bated breath every 2 years for an election we have no control over. Meanwhile, the things that we could be doing every day. I said to my esthetician, she's doing my face today. Love Hellendale Dermatology, by the way. Love Hellendale Dermatology. And they do all kinds of things to my face. It's not really to look young. It's just I'm not about looking younger. I'm 45. I just like to look as best I possibly can at my age, right? And they help me. And so my esthetician is hilarious. So she asked me all these questions about politics and what's going on and this and that and the elections. And so we're talking and, you know, everyone I speak to, everyone acknowledges that all the politicians lie to us and the parties are basically the same. We don't really think anything's going to change, but we hope that the R's win, you know, this and that. And I was telling her about just how freeing it is, like when it comes down to answers, like how do we fix this, right? Number one, we have to stop lying to ourselves. We have to accept what is right in front of our faces, acknowledge it, and then break out of this system, right? And then the next step is really very, very unsexy. It is not glamorous. It is not sexy. It's not going to give you a rush of dopamine. It is not going to make you feel like, oh my gosh, you know, euphoria, my team won or this or that. It's very unsexy. But it's basically this, like get up, first take care of your family, take care of your health, take care of yourself, live your life. Don't be afraid. You are alive. You are here. You're meant to do something. There's no reason for you to be afraid. So stop that. Get up, get out, and do things in your community. Join a group. Go to board meetings. You don't even have to say anything. Just devote 1 hour, 2 hours, maybe 3 hours a week at certain times during the year to civic engagement. Volunteer on the library board. Volunteer on the zoning board. Start a group. Join Rotary. Join the PTA. Start the PTA. Infiltrate the PTA. Go to all the meetings. It's very unsexy. You don't have to say a thing. Just go. Devote your life, a part of your life, very small part of your life, to civics. You don't have to change the world. Take all of that pressure off, right? People think, oh, I've got to go in like Joan of Arc, right? Guns a-blazing. We're going to fix it. That's not it. It's not it. It's very quiet. It's very sober. And it's what it means to be an American. An American, we believe that we, the people, should govern ourselves. And we have a constitution and we have a Declaration of Independence. And if we believe that, then we need to understand that the way to secure that is through localism. It is through checks and balances. It is making sure that power never gets consolidated in a party, a political faction, or two political factions, or at the federal level, or in the judiciary, or the legislative branches, or even at the state level. It's that balance. But see, that balance is completely disrupted when we, the people, omit ourselves from the equation and hand all of it over to corrupted systems and puppets who are controlled by people you will never know. That's the dirty little secret. The two political parties are controlled by people you will never know and you cannot see. And they wield their power from behind the scenes. And they control politicians in a variety of different ways, mostly money. But that's really what it is. We've got to get past those politicians. We've got to find out who's making the real decisions. And that's just by showing up. That's just by observing, getting active, and getting engaged. You can do this from anywhere on the face of the planet. You can do this in Australia, Canada, the UK, the United States of America, from Maine to Massachusetts to California to Texas to New York. It is something doable that every one of us can do. The question is, will we do it? We'll be back in a moment on the Shannon Joy Show.
I was scheduled for a huge climate debate in England, and then all hell broke loose.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
In October 2022, Lord Christopher Monckton and I were scheduled to debate at a climate conference in London. The so-called Global Investment and Sustainable Development, or Green Davos Summit, was hosting a climate debate. But when word got out, all hell broke loose. The UK climate minister canceled his attendance. The minister cited, quote, unforeseen, urgent government business for his decision to withdraw from the conference. Monckton and I's debate opponent, Dr. Aaron Theory, backed out of the debate. I went on One America News TV in the U.S. and explained my debate challenge.
I will say this, and anyone, this is like WWF wrestling now.
Listen here, I'm getting on a plane this weekend, and I'm coming to London, and I'm going to debate, and if you try to block me out, I will be there at the door. You will not keep me out.
All right, that's a little out of control. That's my World Wrestling Federation chantante.
For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Today, I have given formal notice to Russia in accordance with the treaty that the United States of America is withdrawing from this almost 30-year-old treaty. That was President George W. Bush's announcement in December 2001 that the United States would withdraw from the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, which commenced in 1972. TNT Radio reviews this news again, more than two decades later, as a poignant reminder as to why the situation in Ukraine is so dire today. The mainstream media has failed to explain why the US withdrawal from the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty has led to increased tensions between the world's nuclear superpowers and the current crisis in Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin has repeatedly condemned the United States for withdrawing from the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty.
Today, I have given formal notice to Russia, in accordance with the treaty, that the United States of America is withdrawing from this almost 30-year-old treaty.
Russia's concern of U.S. nuclear weapons encroaching on its borders is legitimate. How would the United States react were the tables turned and Russia had a military alliance with Mexico?
We don't rock. We talk. Today's news talk. TNT Radio.
Two examples, if I can get to them, regarding what I'm talking about tonight on the program. The first is Lee Zeldin. He is the New York State gubernatorial candidate. He is a Republican. And there was a debate last night, which is interesting. I see these debates and the intellectual commentary on the debaters is somewhere along the lines of Kathy Hochul was a liar and sniveling and stumbling and bumbling and her delivery was terrible. And Lee Zeldin was articulate. He was sober. He was concise, right? It's all nothing about their policies. They say basically nothing. They say taglines. There's not really any juicy meat to what they're saying, right? They're purposefully vague. They're completely scripted. They've gone through 17 layers of consultants and a million different questions so that they can get up and say absolutely nothing, but sound like they're articulate and they're on your side. It's brilliant, really. It's a brilliant magician's act that they engage in, right? But Lee Zeldin said something. Lee Zeldin said something, and this is just one example. Watch the Oz versus Fetterman debate or any of the debates. And most of the Republican candidates are just as vague. But they asked Lee Zeldin about the COVID-19 vaccine mandates. And Kathy Hochul said, well, I don't have any plans to mandate COVID-19 vaccines. And that means that things could change. I'll do it at any time. So we know what to expect with Kathy Hochul. But Lee Zeldin was very, very adamant. He said, in no way, shape, or form will I ever mandate COVID-19 vaccines for school children. In no way. I don't believe in COVID-19 vaccine mandates for school children. I will not, right? And he's very specific, right? He also said, and this is what people didn't really pick up on, he also said that he was very satisfied with New York State's policies on childhood vaccination schedules, which was very interesting that he's completely satisfied and supportive of. So this is everything. It's the MMR, it's the polio, it's the childhood schedule, which jabs little children from the time they're zero to the time that they're 18 with over 100 different varieties of chemical concoctions in the vaccine schedule. And they are forced to do it in the United States or in New York State, or else they are denied education in private, parochial, or public schools. That's very unusual. New York State is different than the other 48 states in the United States of America, along with California, because New York State and California in 2017 repealed religious and philosophical exemptions, which have been in existence since the beginning of time in the United States of America for all sorts of vaccine mandates. In fact, they exist in every other state in the union. 48 states have robust exemptions, meaning, yeah, we recommend you get this vaccine, but if you religiously object to it or philosophically object to it or just don't frankly want it, you don't have to get it. You can fill out an exemption. Now, I don't even think people should have to fill out exemptions, but that's the way that it is. Lee Zeldin, getting up on stage in this debate, made it very clear that he supports New York State's system of forced vaccination of children. And that's very important. It's also very important. You have to listen to exactly what they say because they're very smart. I don't know if they're smart. I take that back. They're very well trained. Okay, not smart, well trained. I'm not saying that Zeldin isn't smart. Maybe he is. But he's also well trained. And that's on purpose. They don't say. He was very adamant and everybody loved it, right? Because it seemed like he was against, you know, forced medical mandates or interventions by the government or corporations onto an individual body, right? Because that's really what's at stake here. The question is, should the government, any government bureaucracy, official, executive, anyone, or corporate, anyone, should anyone be able to force someone, pin them down, shove a needle in their arm, and issue a host of punishments or negative impacts if they don't comply? That's the question. Can you deny children? I mean, this is constitutional, baby. Can you deny a child an education because their parent declines a medical intervention that they don't want, right? And so he was very careful not to talk about the other vaccines. He was very careful not to talk about the ban on religious exemptions. And so I decided on Twitter to really kind of push this issue, which I think is very important. And I, as you guys know, I do not have politicians on my radio show. And the main reason is that I only have brave and courageous people on my radio show, and that omits most politicians. So that's really why I don't have politicians on my show, but it's just, I'm not interested. They, especially in political season, they just wanna, you know, squawk talking points at you. But I am very interested. I did reach out to Lee Zeldin and his team on Twitter publicly, and I would be willing to open up this forum, this venue, to Lee Zeldin for a full hour discussion on this issue of bodily autonomy, medical freedom, forced government or corporate interventions into individual bodies, right? The courts are ruling on this, and we are winning. We are winning in places like Canada, which I mentioned yesterday. There is an enormous pushback to these medical interventions, yet we cannot get Republican politicians to talk about it. I would like to talk to Lee Zeldin about it because I'm not comfortable with the omission. I'm not comfortable with the fact that he's comfortable with the fact that 26,000 little children in New York State in 2018 were kicked out of Christian, private, parochial, and public schools because of their medical status, their vaccine status. That's an abomination. That is in violation of our Constitution of the United States of America and also the Constitution in New York State. And it's very easily remedied as a governor, if he becomes governor via executive order, because it's incumbent upon him. He swears an oath to the Constitution of the United States of America. He can, by via executive order, in upholding the Constitution, repeal the ban on religious mandates. And that's what I would expect him to do. But I'd like to have a larger conversation with him about it. So I've invited him onto this venue. The question is, will he come, right? He'll go anywhere else. And you know how politicians are during election season. And I promise it will be a fair conversation. I'm not gonna do gotcha questions. I want to know what he thinks about this topic. And I want other Republicans who have a microphone, who have venues, who have influence, they have platforms. I want them to ask other Republicans across the United States of America about these issues. We have to ask them, we have to compel them to face the elephants in the room. And the only way that happens is if my colleagues and people like myself ask tough questions, not unfair questions, not gotcha questions, not with the angle of embarrassing someone, but with the purpose of establishing truth, of getting to truth, of finding some clarity. There's no reason for a Republican candidate in New York State to be afraid of reinstating a religious exemption for little children in terms of vaccines. These exemptions exist in 48 out of the 50 states in the United States of America. And they are increasingly unpopular, especially given what we have seen now with the toxic COVID-19 jabs, which have been roundly rejected by parents across this country. 95 to 96% of parents of children under the age of 5 have refused to submit their children's bodies to these interventions. So this is not a toxic issue. This is not an issue that anyone on the Republican platform should be afraid of addressing. Unless there are other interests involved, right? This is not controversial. In fact, it's such an obscure, seemingly, topic. Most independents don't even know about the repeal of the religious exemption that happened in 2018. Most people don't care. People are looking at their grocery bills. People are looking at their doubled grocery bills right now, saying, what the hell is happening in this country? right? And that's the other thing. When do we see solutions, right? You see a lot of talking points about how awful Biden is and how terrible the Democratic Party is, right? But we don't see real plans. Like, what are they gonna do? I mean, this is, we have to do our jobs in the media, especially in the conservative media. We have to do our jobs. And I wanna encourage all of you, I know you are connected to your favorite conservative media outlet. Email them, tweet at them, ask them to ask these questions. Because now is the most important time. This is when we can get them on the record. This is when they're willing to say anything in order to get your vote. Well, let's make them say good things. Let's make them say good things by pressing them on the issues that matter to us most, rather than sweeping them under the rug because we're so afraid that a Democrat is going to win. They're not gonna win. The red wave is coming. The red wave is coming. Let's get some of these people on the record. All right, that is the program. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with Daniel Horowitz on TNT to continue the week. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.